Don't let fear stop you from moving forward. If you are successful, someone wants to copy you. But you have to look at it as like, I have secured the market, I'm making money, I'm selling my product, and don't let those, what I call, you know, followers or fast followers, worry. Just put in your head, someone's gonna copy me. And don't try to stop it, just stay ahead of it. And that's how you really can calm those nerves and move forward with your business.
Welcome to the B2B Breakthrough Podcast. We're here to bring you all the best knowledge, insights, and strategies from e-commerce experts, successful business owners, and the team at Alibaba.com that you'll need to grow your business and achieve your next big breakthrough. I'm your host, Sierra Cristo. Today, we've got an awesome guest and good friend of ours, Carmine Denisco, on the show. He's an entrepreneur and product development specialist who's helped countless inventors take their ideas from sketch to shelf. Whether it's nailing down patents, avoiding manufacturing headaches, or just figuring out where to start, Carmine's got the insider knowledge to make it happen. But today, we're talking all things IP and breaking down his best advice for protecting your work and turning big ideas into real products. Carmine, welcome to the show.
What's happening? I love it. That was a great intro. I was wondering who you were talking about.
Oh, no, you got the goods, man. We're excited to chat with you.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, it's great to be here. I love your show. I follow it. Really, really good guest you guys have on. So I'm honored
to be
here.
Can you start us off by just kind of explaining what the basics of intellectual property are for folks who are just getting into the inventing space and want to make sure that they're on the right foot to get this underway?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go over it real quick. That's a great question for, you know, a lot of people, like you said, they hear patents. Patenting has really changed the whole atmosphere of inventing over the years, whereas it was nice to have a patent. But now companies really that want to take on your product or have put it on the shelves or manufacture it or sell it online, they really want you to have some kind of IP protection or at least prove that you're allowed to sell that product to them. And that's really what intellectual property is. It's super important to be used as a tool in the right place at the right time. And it's really just saying that, hey, listen, I have the rights to this idea, this design, this product, this logo, whatever that is. So yeah, it's really just giving you the right to be able to sell or own or distribute in a sense and make money off your idea.
I know that you work with a lot of small business owners, inventors, and folks in this space. Can you talk to us a little bit about the kind of clientele and partners that you work with in your world that this information is really beneficial for?
Yes, as you know, the innovation, the product world is so vast and it covers so many different spectrums and markets that what we do is, you know, we take products and that cover all that. We do everything from sports products to medical products to health products, different types of things, home, tools. We cover a broad spectrum of different products. Most of the things we take in or create are new or invention or first to market ideas, or it could be what I call Reese's peanut butter cup. We take chocolate and peanut butter, we put them together. I mean, Reese's didn't, you know, develop that. You just put it together and they make money. So a lot of the ideas are, you know, junctures or connections or putting products together to make another product, which sometimes is a great way to get started. If people have an idea for an invention, they'll come to us and we try to help it make it a reality.
Can you explain a little bit how the conversation around patents and IP varies when you move from something as highly technical as medical devices or anything in the healthcare world versus a consumer good or sporting equipment? How do those conversations change depending on the kind of product you're looking at?
And they change drastically. You know, a lot of times when you're making a medical device, you know, you're right. I mean, you have to make sure that the IP and each component is very well protected. And a lot of times they have what's called a family of IP, which you have a patent that covers three or four other patents and things like that. Because in the medical field, very expensive and there's a lot of money out there. What I always try to talk to potential clients or inventors about is to use intellectual property as a tool. Because if you don't need it yet, then there's no reason to get that started. Many times, as an inventor, we ask our neighbor advice. I have this idea. What should I do next? Or if you ask a patent attorney, hey, what should I do next? They're going to say a patent or they're going to say IP protection. There's nothing wrong with what they're saying. but that's what they do. So if I go to a dentist and I tell him my foot hurts, he's going to work on my teeth. You really should look at intellectual property as when, why, and well, where it's needed. If I have an invention and I'm going through that invention and manufacturing and design process, and I patent my first idea, my first design, it's probably going to change before it gets to market. So it's really a great idea to talk with somebody who actually knows, who has taken products to market, as when you should insert that intellectual protection, because it is needed. Big proponent of intellectual property, but at the right time in the right place, and utilize it as a tool to protect your ideas. But you know, as you know, sometimes ideas and products move so fast, like clothing or products that go on the shelf or ideas or even toys sometimes, that by the time you try to get your patent published, you're into the next version or the third version or, you know, so, or it's out of style. So again, that's why you really need to talk with people that know.
Yeah. I mean, and part of that lead up to it is really scary. Yeah. So, I mean, if if you're talking about, you know, how to time it right, how to take that next step and get the legal bit sorted, what is that emotional component for the folks that you work with when it comes to like, I'm working on it, I'm developing, I'm tweaking, I shouldn't be getting patented yet, but is this safe? Am I okay to talk to people about this? How is that experience just in your own life, anecdotally, just in that development phase? When does that fear kind of take root?
Yeah. You know, it's super delicate. It's super scary. We laugh, we cry. It's a very emotional roller coaster when we're taking our ideas. We're not only putting them out in the world, we're worried about somebody taking it. We're worried somebody's going to like our idea or not like our idea. That's why it's very tough to just all of a sudden just bite the bullet and say, what's that next step? And when we're going intellectual property in that route, that alone is very emotional because it could take a year. It could take 7 years to get that patent because you're going back and forth with the inspectors. You're going back and forth with your patent attorney and you're making changes. You're making adjustments. So again, you really need to be able to soak that in and know that whilst that patent is in there, whilst you're doing that,
more frequently and more precise
from moving forward. And so you know this, if you are successful, someone wants to copy you. It's kind of cool in a way, because if I'm selling millions of units of a widget and my widget is square, they're going to make a round one. They're going to. But you have to look at it as like, I have secured the market. I'm making money. I'm selling my product. And don't let those, what I call, you know, followers or fast followers worry you. Just put in your head, someone's going to copy me. And don't try to stop it. Just stay ahead of it. And that's how you really can calm those nerves and move forward with your business
ideas. And also, we are linked.
Stopping the copycats instead of making the better version and moving forward, because you're not going to stop them. You just have to make a better product, better price, better branding, and you could beat them.
Totally. And you have that benefit of the hard work behind you. You have the yes. documentation. Now, is that factored in when you start those conversations with patent attorneys and lawyers or anything in that process? Is that factored in as you apply for your patent, documenting that this is an original thought and I have all of this experience, all of these years or months, whatever you've put into it? Does that come into the conversation, or does your competition, this person who's copying you, do they have a leg to stand on if they try to beat you to it?
We are in a first to file market, meaning that if I have my idea and I'm working on it for years, but I just haven't filed, and somebody thinks of it the next day they file, that is their idea because they're first to file. We are in a first to file system, and that's just how it is. I mean, you know, it changed. The laws changed about 2012, I think it was, and it was where you could prove if you had that idea and you're working on it for multiple years and somebody filed and you can prove that you thought of it, you could have a leg to stand on. But now, first to file, done. It's just, yeah. So there's a lot of ways to really help yourself do that. And a lot of people don't know about what's called a provisional patent. If you really have that idea and you're moving forward on it and you're spending some money, spending some time, if you're throwing resources at it, there's nothing wrong with putting in that provisional patent. You could do it online at the Patent and Trademark Office. And it kind of like, you know, locks in your, it's like you and I were going to the movie, Sarah, and I said, hey, I'm going to the bathroom, hold my spot. It's just holding your spot in line, you know, and it's saying you thought of this first, you filed first. And here's the other thing about it is your product is going to change over time. So using that provisional patent as a tool, not getting that full patent, just filing that provisional patent is really a great way to make sure that as your product changes or going through versions, you can file it. If your product changes, you can file another provisional patent because it changed. Why not, you know, file a provisional patent? So again, using it as a tool is very, very important, and not using fear to drive you.
So there's two concepts here that are a little bit at odds, in this feeling like you don't want to rush it, you know, make sure that you've thought it through, but also you got to be the first to file. So you're scaring me now, and I don't even have an idea that I'm trying to bring to market. So I can imagine the emotion behind this.
Yeah.
So what is like a green flag to you as you're ideating and saying, you know what, now's the time for provisional. Now is the time to make some kind of step forward of protecting this. Is there, I know you said it could be a year, it could be 7 years. What is that instinct, that sign that it's time to press go?
Well, the great part about it is that before you're going to show it, I've had products that we've taken on HSN and QVC. I have filed a provisional patent the day before it went on television. Like, I mean, or that night, as long as we file that, it's ready to go. So before you're going to go public with your product, big time public, if you're going to start really pushing it out there, you can file that provisional patent for under $100 and be able to now publicly disclose it. And you are first in line. So you can do that. And you get to say it is patent pending as soon as you do it. You don't have to say it's a provisional patent. You get to say this product is patent pending. And it's a again, a great tool to deter people who might be like, wow, you know, the great part about staying in patent pending status is that people won't know your special sauce, meaning that they don't know what you're patenting because they don't see it on the Patent and Trademark Office website. In patent pending status, your idea does not become public knowledge. So you want to be able to, people rush to get the patent, but I would rather keep my ideas in patent pending status as long as possible, because then no one knows what I'm actually patenting. They'd be crazy to copy my idea not knowing what my patent is going to say.
Interesting. And so in that example, how I'm making sense of it is, I'm going to use a very basic example
here.
It's
okay. That's perfect for me.
Let's say I'm reinventing the umbrella, and it's visually very easy to understand, but the mechanism to make it, you know, the spring load to lock into place, all of that detail, that's the patent. That's the piece that makes this whole thing work. And that's the piece that they don't have access to on the U.S. Patent Office website. Whereas they could see your product and say, oh, this is this great product that keeps me dry in a thunderstorm. But they don't understand how it actually physically works. So that's the benefit of keeping it under wraps.
Yes, that's correct. That's the benefit of staying in that process, that the patent has not gone public yet. It has not been authorized. It hasn't been okay. Because as soon as that patent is okay, it goes public. And then they can open up that patent. They could see all the drawings. They could see how it works. You have to disclose. You're talking about how it works. So if you keep it in patent pending status for as long as possible, you know, it gives you that head start. So if you, Sarah, are selling your product for a year, you had your provisional patent or you filed your patent, but it hasn't been authorized yet, which is cool because it doesn't matter. You have put your patent in. So you're ahead of the game. No one can see what that special sauce is. So you could be selling your product for 2 or 3 years, lock in that market share, you know, perfect how the product is made, and also be selling it, you know, to stores. I would be crazy to jump in and try to beat you because you have branding, you have the product, and you're selling it. I can't jump in and try to beat you unless you're making that umbrella for $1 and you're selling it for $200. Now, I can jump in and sell one for $50. So if you have a good price, you have good quality product, and you're ahead with the branding, there's no way somebody's going to try to jump in and make a copycat. They'd be crazy.
And they don't have the instruction manual to create a credible dupe.
They'll go somewhere else. They're going to find somebody else to copy. Sure.
Do you have any examples of setbacks that people have experienced in this process, be it a provisional patent or a fully patented product? Any examples where things just either got delayed or derailed in the process?
Yes, you know, there's a lot of them out there. One of the biggest things that we run into is that inventors depend on the Patent and Trademark Office to be the patent police. And they're not. They just say, we're patenting your idea, we're going to file this paperwork. And they don't realize that it's very costly to stop someone from copying you. To stop someone from copying you with your patent is very costly. And it's upwards of $100,000 just to get started with a patent court. Whereas if you do it the right way and maintain and sell your product and keep a good price and good quality and try to stop those copycats without having to, you know, put your patent as a shield, it is much easier in the long run. Now, of course, we have people that are going to copy your product. We already mentioned that. And, you know, several of my friends, even some really big toy manufacturers, even the gentleman that made, I don't know if you ever saw the product, you know, as soon as his product hit the market, he was copied. And he had three patents. The patents were great. And it cost him over $30 million to go after this person, this company that copied his product. He won. And he got $23 million back. And he won. So if I'm going to spend $30 million, I'm going to go on a beach in Tahiti because that's my money. You know, so that's just an extreme, obviously, example. But you really have to think about your strategy if somebody copies you. Am I going to use the patent office, the federal courts, to go after somebody? Or does it make sense just to beat them with price and quality and branding? Because again, a lot of people feel that if they have that patent, that's all they need. And it's just not true. Again, IP is important. I don't want to discourage people from getting it, but you can't use it as a shield. You know, there's a lot more to a patent and a patent infringement case than people know.
Wow, that is a startling case study.
Yeah. It's not the Patent and Trademark Office's fault. They do a great job. I know all the people at USPTO. It's just, you know, the bad guys. They just find those gaps. They find those holes in the system and they try to beat you. So there's a lot of other ways to protect your idea. Again, IP is important, especially if you're going to license or sell your idea down the road. You want to have that IP, intellectual property. You just want to have that. But don't rely on it is what I mean.
Is the complexity of sourcing holding you back? Are you getting overwhelmed by information in an endless search? Now sourcing for your business has never been easier. Meet Axio, the world's first AI sourcing engine that helps you source like a pro with 5 key features. You'll get product inspiration that leverages real-time market data from comprehensive web insights, social media trends, and B2B knowledge. Generate detailed requirements to find the perfect match from AI-verified products and suppliers through Axio's multimodal search. Use Super Comparison to easily discover and compare millions of products from leading suppliers, focusing on the best-selling and most competitive options. With Axio Page, you'll get AI-generated encyclopedia pages that compile verified product information for each SKU. And finally, leverage Axio Agent to streamline negotiations with conversation guidance, real-time summaries, and direct answers about products and suppliers without having to browse detail pages. Head over to axio.ai today. That's ACCIO.ai to try Axio for free and start sourcing like a pro. Now, I mean, another piece that you just mentioned here is either sell it down the road, or if you're looking for investors, you're looking to expand, having this IP in place is incredibly attractive to an investor, I would imagine.
You're right. So if you're thinking of licensing, or if you're thinking of selling your company or whatever, it's a different way or a different approach. So yes, investors might want you to have intellectual property. I have sold products. I have sold companies that had products involved. And what I found was they were happy that I had a patent, but then they patented themselves with their own attorneys because they didn't trust how my patents were worded. They were happy that I had the patent, but because they were going to be putting their money into this product, they said, hey, we got our own attorneys. We're going to write our own patents also. So a lot of times you could have, hey, I got 3 patents on this product. Would you want to buy it? It's not as impressive to some of these companies as I have the 1 patent. They're like, cool, because they may repatent it because, again, they have their own attorneys, their own verbiage. So, again, it's a whole strategy. It's a whole sequence of events that, again, I'll say, talk to someone that knows, because this gets so, it gets so crazy and intricate that you want to start off as slow as you can so that you don't, I don't want to say mistakes, but just there are missteps that you can avoid. And I tell you what, you can make a lot more money if you do it the right way, a lot faster, quicker to market, depending on what you want to do.
So you're able to hold a patent on your product. And if you are selling or have an investor and they want to repatent it, what does repatenting entail? Are we talking about the same mechanism, the same part of your product, or are they taking it from a different angle? How can multiple patents exist for the same product?
Yeah, so the great question, because actually they can't in a way. So as soon as you sign your product over to a company, that means you're signing the patents over. They can replace those patents. So it's just like any law or anything. There's always holes in it. There's no law or no patent is perfect. Think about this. And my intellectual property friends, lawyers are going to kill me. Intellectual property attorneys, what do? They get around other patents. It's what they do. I mean, because again, when you see that prior art, they show a list of prior art. There's patents out there that cover what you're doing. They just change the verbiage and they get around those existing patents. It's what attorneys in most cases do. There's nothing wrong with that. They're just smart. So there's always an attorney that's going to get around your patent. So they want to have their attorneys write a patent that can't get around that patent. So it's just a game that they play, but they feel better that their own attorneys did it.
Got it.
Not saying that they will do it, but I've had product that I've sold or companies that I've sold or licensed that those things happen. So that's why a lot of times, if you're planning on selling your product or licensing it, you know, just do the minimal. Most likely that company is going to either repatent or just strictly pay for a family of patents if they believe in the product that well.
Now, you've mentioned paying for the family of patents. There's got to be a cost-effectiveness conversation as part of this. So what does it actually cost to get this done? And what are ways to find those efficiencies to make your business more sustainable in the long run?
There's so much to it that every product, every situation should really be looked at separately. So I want people to know why I'm talking about this. This is general things, what we're talking about. Each patent could cost upwards of $3,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, maybe. It depends on the product, really, how much it could cost. But here's the worst part about all of that is there's maintenance fees on each patent. So if you have a patent in 10 different countries, you have 10 patents, every month you're paying maintenance fees. Now you don't pay the maintenance fees, your patent goes away. So it's a never-ending process. And just keeping track of all those patents, you know, is a lot. So if you're really not thinking about selling your product worldwide, really rethink getting those worldwide patents. And just remember that the U.S. is the market to sell your product. If somebody wants to copy you and sell your product in Europe, let them sell it. You know, we always want to stop everything and control everything. But if we can just sell in the U.S. and we're successful, it's going to kill those copycats, because after they find out, or somebody in Europe is going to see that product in the U.S., they're going to buy from Amazon off the U.S. So let those other people try to copy you. Just do a good job here in the U.S. and everyone would be so much better off. But there's a lot of things that people don't realize about patents that, you know, maybe their patent attorney's not giving them the full picture. Most good attorneys will. They're going to tell them, these are the fees. This is what's happening. You know, somebody goes after your product. Now we got to hire an attorney in Europe to go after them. You know, you can. Everybody thinks they send a cease and desist. A cease and desist letter is not a legal document. You're basically sending a letter saying, "Please stop copying me," and that's what you're saying. I mean, and
sure,
somebody that does this for a living is going to go, you know, what the heck is that? It's nothing. So you really have to go after them, and it costs money, especially when you're in another country.
We've had a lot of conversations with small business owners about finding their right audience and segmenting from a branding perspective, from a sales channel perspective, but adding this additional layer in of talking about where to protect it is huge. And it doesn't hurt to know this information ahead of time before engaging in a conversation with your patent attorney.
Very important. You're 100%. You know, and not to jump ahead or anything, but a lot of times,
no,
and I have this conversation with people all the time about companies in China. And You know, China is one of the strictest countries that I know of that if they find someone, the Chinese government finds someone copying a product, they are pissed and they really go after them. And a lot of times, a lot of people around the world don't realize that. And most times when products get copied, it's someone outside of China buying the product, sending it there to make it. And the factory is, I don't want to say harmless, but they don't know that they're copying a product.
So how do you engage in that conversation with a supplier saying, you know, this is a product that I have protections on in the US. Can I trust you to not do this, you know, with another manufacturer also from the US? Maybe there's nothing stopping them from an Australian business owner coming to them, but how does that conversation go? And are there any protections in your relationship with your supplier to just nip it in the bud?
Super delicate conversation, but it should be done and you have to work with trusted people. Alibaba does an awesome job of going through their suppliers and finding trusted people, just like I have manufacturers and factories that I've been working with for years and I've never had a problem with them. I trust them. They trust me. You can't just throw a rock and hit a factory and say, I'm going to give this factory all of my intellectual property. You have to use the right people, just like with your patent and your manufacturer. All of it has to be done correctly. And 100%, a lot of times when things happen, it's just because we were in a rush. We thought we knew. We're using the wrong person. Again, Alibaba does an awesome job at really filtering out what's happening and bad guys and making you feel comfortable. Alibaba does some pretty cool things with, you could go through funds with them and you could do things. That's why you need to feel comfortable with who you use. So you have to be careful. We just have to think smart, know there's bad guys everywhere, not just in China, not in the US, there's bad guys everywhere, and avoid them and do things right.
Yeah, just because they can do it doesn't mean they're the ones to do it. I've had conversations with small business owners who have developed an idea alongside their manufacturer who helped them in the prototyping stage and just developing the idea, who now share IP on a product. Have you engaged either personally with a manufacturer in a relationship like this, or have you coached anyone through a process where they shared the IP on a product?
That is such a great option for people. They have to be open-minded, but that is a great option if you don't have, you know, you don't have the time, you don't have the resources, you don't have the funds, whatever that reason is. Finding a factory that's open to innovation, that wants to have a new product on the market, is a great way to do that. It really is, because otherwise, most likely, you're going to throw that product in this closet and it's never going to see the light of day. Whereas we have factories and we have people and wholesalers that are constantly connecting with us saying, hey, you know, we're doing some pickleball products, anything related to pickleball, send to us first. So when somebody says, I have this cool idea for a new paddle, I just don't have the money, you know, and I understand 100% because I say, okay, is it okay if we do this? We sign a non-disclosure, we share it with the factory, the wholesaler, and if they like it, you're off to the races and everyone's happy that way. So Sierra, that's an awesome way to get products in the market. Who better that they're already making products to meet up with? But you can't be fearful. A lot of people say, well, they could copy my product. Yes, they could copy your product, but they don't want to have the headache with the internet and reviews and all these different social media sites. Many factories, many wholesale, they do not want to do anything where they're going to get, you know, a bad name. So I really love how social media has really held people to their word, because they're worried about bad reviews. They're worried about something happening. And not that they need that, but it's always there lingering. So it helps.
Social media as an enforcer. I like it. That's great.
No, I mean, it's important that, I don't want to say people are scared of it, but it really makes people do what they say. I think that social media, when used the right way, in that sense, it really helps people that in other ways wouldn't have any recourse.
Yeah, it's a huge asset. And it goes back to what you were saying earlier. IPs are the most legal, official way to protect your product, you know, get your patent, definitely huge benefit. But there are other ways to reinforce that. And like you said, beating your competition on branding. So what are the other tools in your arsenal to help reinforce that IP outside of the legal world?
Having a good quality product is so important these days. I mean, people really expect the product to perform. You know, a lot of times they think about price, but price is secondary these days, depending on the product. Apple is a perfect example. They suck you in with one of their products. They have all these different products. But once you get one in your hand, they all work so well that you can't help but getting the others. So very important. You have a quality product at a good price, and your product does what it's supposed to. And that's a real great way to stop copycatters, because they can't do it for the same price. They have to cut corners somehow. No matter what it is, they are going to cut corners. It could be the packaging. It could be the design. It could be the functionality. But people are going to know that that is not a high-quality product. Sure, they might buy it once, but they're going to go, man, this isn't it. This is, I have fallen for that. I mean, everyone does. You buy a product, you're like, what is this, you know? So you can't be fearful, though. You have to know that your strategy is going to work. You have to stick with it. Sure, modify here and there. But sticking with that strategy of branding, good quality, and good price is just so important.
I wanted to talk to you about scaling as well, because, you know, as you just mentioned, Apple and having this huge suite of products that are interconnected and work well together. So how does having a strong IP help in that scaling conversation when it comes to either expanding your product line or, as we've already discussed, seeking investors?
Yeah, great question. Again, that whole strategy really comes into play. And a lot of us inventors, we're not really business people. We just like making things. And so sometimes it's hard for us to put that strategy on paper and really think it out, because we just want to make it. You know, I want to run into my garage and make this idea. And then I'm like, and everybody's like, what about the business aspect? And you're like, what the hell? You know, it doesn't matter. So depending on what you want to do, and if you have a product, like you mentioned, an umbrella. But in reality, that umbrella could really turn into a whole family of products. You know, if you call it the umbrella, and then you have the uncase, and then you have the unjacket, or whatever you wanted to do. So having that base patent that kind of covers your technology, say maybe you developed a material that really repels water. Now that material can be used on many different things. Not only can you create a whole bunch of products, but you could license that patent out to other companies who could white label it, and you could get paid from those companies to utilize that material, that technology. So there's a lot of ways to really scale a company if you have a product that is scalable. Some aren't. So that's when you said, well, would a provisional patent be good enough? This product's only going to have a shelf life of 1 year anyway. Why get a patent? You know, but if you know your product's going to have versions, then you could get that base patent and have those versions as you add on. But just get somebody that can help you with that strategy, with that business side, because that's really important. Because believe it or not, every inventor, as soon as they sell their product, now they're a business owner, whether they want to be or not.
It sounds like, you know, part of scaling your business, yeah, you're growing, you're bringing in more profits, but it's also kind of dwarfing the cost of your patent at the end of the day, if it is covering a whole family of products, and it kind of justifies the maintenance fees that you're going to be looking at over time.
Yeah, 100%. You hit it right on the head.
As we talk about like the cost burden of getting your protections in place, are there government programs in place or grants, scholarships of some sort that help it be just a little bit more approachable and attainable for someone in the early stages of launching a product?
Yes. And I'm glad you brought that up. There are many programs out there, especially for lower income, inclusive innovation. I'm actually on the President's Committee for Inclusive Innovation. I belong to WIPO, which is the World Intellectual Property Organization. All of these organizations are basically there to help with getting patents or helping with funding or getting grants and things like that. You can even go to sometimes some of the local colleges. They might want to take on that idea, get a grant and patent it. You know, many colleges love technology. They love having their students work on ideas that are unachievable for one person and things like that. So there's a lot of ways, and I'm glad you brought that up, to really move your idea forward, to work on your idea, to get it out in the market, without really just saying, my God, this is just way too big for me. It's never going to see the light of day. So there's many programs out there.
We're coming up on time a little bit here. So I want to skip to the future. I want to put our forecasting hats on. What do you see as the future of intellectual property? Is there anything that you should be aware of, you know, on the horizon in the next, let's say, 5 to 10 years, in terms of how to protect your brand in the best way possible as the market continues to get more and more congested?
Yes, I think that as we as a society move faster, quicker, bigger, we want new products. Like just buying a product, you want something new next year, invent that version. I think patents will still be needed, but I think that we will want those patents to move quicker. And I tell you what, design patents are going to be very important in the future because not only are they less technical, but you can get them quicker. So I talked to a lot of Amazon personnel there when we have a product being copied on Amazon, say, and if I have a design patent, I could send them that patent. They see the picture and they look and they go, yeah, that guy's copying you, and they take it off. But if I send them a technical patent that's this thick, a utility patent, they are not going to go look through it because they just can't understand it. So design patents, you can get much quicker. They're faster. They're easier to explain. So if you can go with a design patent at first, if it covers you, I think there is going to be a little bit faster in the future. Again, I think that the whole patenting process is going to have to move quicker, or we're going to say, listen, I'm going to be updating this product every year. I don't really need a patent, you know, because if somebody wants to copy me, they're going to be two versions behind. So I think that people as a whole are getting smarter, and our product developers are getting very smart with all the education that like you're supplying, with that's available out in the world. We're starting to say, I do want a patent, but I don't have to wait for it. I'm going to start selling. I'm going to move quickly. I'm going to have a great product. And you know what? If they want to copy me, want you know, be behind me, go right ahead.
Awesome. I mean, we didn't even get into the different kind of patents. Oh my gosh, there's so much more here that we can dig into. But I'm like, oh my God, design patents. We have to talk about design patents.
I told you, I could talk all day about this stuff.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I think that's a great note to kind of land on here. I mean, utility versus design. Do your research, do your homework, and talk to people like you who know what's going on in this world.
And again, use Alibaba. They're awesome. And it's not just because you guys are doing this. The amount of information, I talk to the Alibaba IP department. I don't think people realize how important Alibaba treats intellectual property. And that's something that you should really talk about because you guys have an insane intellectual property department.
Maybe we're due for a follow-up episode. We'll talk more about the nitty gritty and how we can support as well. But I think this was a really helpful foundational conversation, especially for first timers. This is huge.
I hope so. I hope so. Very important to know. So I think you're right, Sierra. You're very important to know.
Awesome. Well, where can folks find you? Where can we learn more about IP, learn more about the United Inventors Association? Talk to us.
Sure. They can find me on all the social media platforms. I don't know how they work. I have people doing that stuff for me. You can also join the United Inventors Association at UIAUSA.org. It's free to join, and you can email me from there. I'll be certain to get back to you if you do have some questions. I love answering questions. We try to help as many people as possible. It might take me a day or two to get back, or one of us to get back, but any questions that people have, I implore them to ask before they go and spend the time, money, and resources.
Awesome. You are so helpful. All of these resources are so helpful. You're the man, Carmine. Thank you for chatting with us.
Anytime. I love it.
B2B Breakthrough is produced by Alibaba.com. To find out how Alibaba.com is empowering its customers with the tools, services, and resources they need to grow their business, visit Alibaba.com. And then make sure to search for B2B Breakthrough on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. Make sure to follow us so you don't miss future episodes. On behalf of the team here at Alibaba.com, thanks for listening.